fire and the blood. Would you hold even a victory to win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is
going by the book. Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible Study. I kind of switched up on you, didn't I? Keeps things interesting. Welcome to this evening. I lost a couple people just a little while ago. They said, oh, this is, you know, they're into the New World Order, the, you know, everything about that, which we study in this broadcast daily. But what they're not getting is the biblical research is the most valuable. You know, I'm assuming the ones here tonight, of course, if there's any new ones, my name is Thomas Gamble. I'm assuming you're all old veterans here of the Watchman for Jesus program, Watchman Chronicles, or New World Order Fighters, which is my first name, that you're veterans here of this program I do. That it has evolved from the scaremongering, fear tactics of New World Order, Illuminati, to a mixture, Watchman Chronicles, to really the truth is about Jesus. It really is. What I try to do in my broadcast is show people how massive, how intricately this is so set up. That's really, talking to you veterans, it is, what I've been trying to do all along. Without saying in a secular way that it's hopeless for a human to even believe that they're going to stop the tribulations, is almost laughable that mankind is going to outsmart God and stop the tribulations. I mean, it's got to be the most arrogant or the most naive position ever taken. And you've got people from generals, congressmen, Harvard professors that don't know. You realize this. They think they're going to, I don't know what they think they're going to do. Yeah, you know, and, you know, I used to believe in evolution, that God used evolution to make it happen, or evolution worked, or I used to believe in alien UFOs when I was in high school. You know, and I believe that all religions were the same, just, you know, have to do with the culture. Is this common sense for me even in high school? You know, it's like, well, of course, you know, you got each country, culture worships God in his own way. That's okay. You know, and then, of course, I got tied up in the 17, 18, 19-year-old stuff, and they got in the Marine Corps because I'm all, you know, scattered, fight for my country kind of mind-washing that I went through and that I put other people through. And life in general. And then I went back to my roots of my philosophical thinking as a teenager and all that. I kept a diary journal, actually, and talks with my grandmother. You've all been through that, too. I said, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Hold this train. That happened after 83 when I became born again. I said, hold this train a minute. And it's only after I really became born again that things started taking shape. And I said, wait, now, everybody can't be right. Somebody's got to be wrong here. Well, ironically enough, that's the same conclusion that an atheist came to, Bertrand Russell. I don't promote atheists, but he said something very astute. All religions can be false, but only one can be true. Well, actually, he's wrong too. All religions are false because Jesus Christ is real. And the King James Bible is real. And it's the only. Now, if there's another Bible, let's say hypothetically, I don't know, name one. Let's say the horrid NIV was, or that's the Geneva Bible. Okay, we'll pull the Geneva Bible out here. And it's been compared, and you've done research, and you say, well, the Geneva and it matches the NIV, the King James Bible. Okay, so Geneva Bible's good, then the King James Bible's good. Okay. Well, that's what I would say. I'd say, well, Geneva's okay and King James is okay. Not a problem. I don't sell King James Bibles. I don't belong to a family member that produces none of that. So I don't have any problem saying that. But it's not true. Because the Geneva Bible, the Great Bible, Wycliffe, every single Bible except the King James, every single other Bible, every other single Bible, you know what I mean, is in fact corrupted. It's not even a preference. There's not even a preference here. It's like saying, well, here's a road. You go down this road. You got bears, tigers, and they're hungry, and they're going to kill you. Now, here, this road, you go into a safety, and they've got some really good food at the end of it, and a lot of safety. Now, which one do you prefer? You know. You know, that's the choice you got. So, which trail are you going to take? This one over here is sure death. This one over here, you're going to a fortress, and you're going to have protection and safety. That's all I can think of right now. So it's like saying, well, which is your preference? Literally. It's not, well, here's safety and security in a port, and over here you're going to have, you know, something is equal or whatever, but there's one, something better than it or whatever. Which one do you want? Well, let's see. It's not that at all. It's one leads to death, and the other leads to life. Literally, it's that kind of decision to make. There is no decision. You're going down to one to life, right? Well, this is the choice you have with other Bibles, 327 of them, different ones, different names, 327 different Bibles, and the King James. One leads to death, and one leads to life. Is that dramatic? So why people can't get this, I don't understand it. I really don't. I mean, the allegiance to an organization or Jesuits or Freemasons or some loyalty to a church or loyalty to the country or some silly, I don't know what, some silly mess. It's about loyalty to Jesus, for goodness sakes. It ain't about a country. See, we've been lied to about that. It's an idol to be patriotic. Ooh, that burns me to say that, but it really is. In Jesus, when Jesus comes down, he is no respecter of persons. So I'm not me saying, it's him. And he's not going to have flags and people in different parts of the world. It's not divided. We're all under one. And one language. We'll be under one language. You see. It is a one world government, per se, but Jesus will be in control of it after Armageddon. So, you know, and he's not going to bring computers and MP3s with him. He ain't going to be there. He's going to worship Jesus and treat each other with respect and love and care about each other. But you're not going to have technology. Now think about it for a minute. It ain't going to be there. You know, that's what we're supposed to be all along, but Adam and Eve messed that up. And then Satan got a hold and started using technology. Arts, philosophy, religion, politics, education. Hey, you got it now? To corrupt us, let's put us on another route. Now, after Armageddon and Jesus is in control, you won't have those seven areas anymore of influence by Satan because he's chained. He's not allowed to influence those who live during that period of time of the 1,000 years millennium. Won't be there. They will not have had an opportunity during that 1,000 years to make a decision. We've got an opportunity to make a decision. You see? But in that 1,000 years, they will not have, because Satan, fallen angels are burning. You know, they're in hell. False prophet and Antichrist are in hell. They'd be burning. They'd be warming things up. But Satan is not. So why wouldn't God just go ahead and send Satan and the false prophet and the Antichrist, the Trinity, put on in? They didn't. You know why? Because the 1,000 years, they have not been given an opportunity to make that decision. So Satan is released at the end of the 1,000 years. Satan is released at the end of the 1,000 years. to then tip the nations once more. That's never been given the opportunity of the tree of the good and evil, or tree of the tree of knowledge, or tree of eternal life. They haven't been able to give a choice of whether to pick Jesus or Satan. Some of them will go with Satan, even though that 1,000 years Jesus has reigned. Do you ever think about that? Because that is the battle of Gog and Magog. Now, they're trying to get people to believe that Gog and Magog is now, or whatever. It's all convoluted. Not so. Second seal, World War III. Armageddon, number second war. And Gog and Magog, the third war. The three wars yet to happen. Woo-hoo. World War II. Excuse me, World War III. Between man and man. The Antichrist. His war on mankind. Second seal. Armageddon. There's not going to be too many humans left. So this is a transhumanized supernatural army against Jesus Christ and the saints and the angels coming out of heaven. That's what Armageddon's about. How come these preachers can't get it right? And the third battle is at the 1,000 years Gog and Magog. That's in the Bible. It's clear, man. There's no way to misinterpret it. Misrepresent it? Oh, yeah, many ways. Because they have a reason why. They want to make you think that the tribulations are done and over, and the one coming is the Savior, but it's going to be Sanan Emanuel, false prophet. So they're trying to make you think that the tribulations are over. That's some serious things are coming. Serious play is being made. Serious deception. I just want to let y'all know that. I mean, think about it. Because after that sixth seal in the first 3.5 years is a great earthquake. Family, Harp will be dwarfed by this earthquake that God's going to shake this earth. Its foundations will shake. Family, that's a ground-hugging earthquake. One this world has never seen before. What does that mean? That means nothing technological, nothing man-made will be standing. Did not the walls of Jerusalem fall and crumble just like Jesus said it would? Till there was no stone left up? Well, do the math on that. So after the 3.5 years, man, there will be nothing technological open. Nothing. Sticks and stones will all be what they'll use. But they won't be using that because they'll be running, hiding from the day of the Lord. God don't do things in small ways. Let's dedicate the broadcast and let's get talking about God's power for reaching the world tonight. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together for this Bible study. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity now. While we can. That, Father, we know the opportunities don't always come around, but, Father, we can work together, pray together, study together, and share knowledge together, one way or the other. Thank you, Lord, that even in this small time that we can have a Bible study that's national or international in prospect, and that, Father, through this technology we can use that Satan's brought up, that, Father, we can use it for our use and still share the gospel. Father, we thank you for our families, and Lord, we need help down here, Lord, that a lot of families are being destroyed by design. And Father, we need your Holy Spirit to bring those families back together and to soften those hearts with divine appointments that they'll be open to witness the love of Jesus. Father, guide us tonight. Forgive us for our sins as we move along. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into the temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. family, tonight I want to talk about God's power for reaching the world. And what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Holy Spirit. That's His power. And when that come at the Pentecost? At the Pentecost. His power for reaching the world is through the Great Commission. And you know what? Those that are Calvinists are against the Great Commission. And yet you have educated men, women, men primarily, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus guys, you see, they have high positions in the government. I mean, Bush even supports Calvinism. John Calvin was a Jesuit and a murderer. And that's what happened. Martin Luther was a Jesuit also. There's a lot that we're not being told about this dialectic. Man, it's a pain in the butt, this dialectic that they use. They provide the problem. They have the solution. And that is just how people think and react. And then they control them by using thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Problem, reaction, solution. Well, Calvinism says no to the Great Commission. And I'm guessing 2 years ago, I had a broadcast and somebody as a guest came on my show, and I thought she knew, you know, we were on the same track. She knew a lot about the occult. That should have been a clue. But anyway, loved God, loved Jesus, has said so anyway. But knew a whole lot about the occult. Like I said, that should have given me some indication, but it didn't. And during the course of the interview, she was given some good information and all this. I said, oh, well, I'd ask questions and all that stuff. And then she come popped up something like, of course, we're not supposed to go out and spread the gospel or something like that. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, hold on a minute now. I said, hold the horses a minute. And it just went downhill from there on. You can only imagine. I said, well, yeah, we are supposed to spread the gospel. Oh, no, no, we're not. I said, yeah, we are. Now, I'm not always so gentle. I try to be, but I wasn't backing down on this one, even on the air. I said, no, 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 no. Because the Great Commission, and it just got bad from there. And then somebody called in on her side, that I just said, you know, and it was a setup. But in any case, they don't believe you should spread the gospel. I don't know where they get this from, because it's in the Bible. The Great Commission, Mark 16:15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, how do you misinterpret that? Mark 16:15. How's that misinterpreted? Unsaved people can be divided into two groups. Those who have heard the gospel, rejected it, and those who have never heard the gospel. And God's not coming. Jesus is not coming until everybody has heard the gospel. That's up to Him. And when the last person's heard the gospel, and the last person He knows is going to accept Jesus as Savior, we're in it. God's going to let Satan kick it off. But Satan knows when he's allowed to then begin, the veil will be lifted. He knows his time is really short. That means he'll have great wrath upon God's people. Now, when's the rapture? I don't know. I don't get into it. I speculate, but that's God's business. You know, there's all kinds of things here going on. It could be two raptures. There's one, a fake one that they'll fool people. And the second one would be the beginning of the first seal to pull God's people out. I'm going to talk about that, but not in the way you think. How does God, His power of reaching the world, what's He going to do during the tribulation? So I'll skip across that a little bit and touch upon it. Not for the same reason, but it does fit into tonight's lesson. But the whole world must hear the gospel. They have to. And you as the watchman, you as a watchman, that you've heard the truth, you are a watchman. Because you know what the truth is. And once people have heard the truth, and you're coming out of the Bible with it, they're responsible for that. There's no getting around it. Ezekiel 3:18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and that giveth him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. But if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou, you, has delivered thy soul. You know, you just can't block it out and say, well, I just didn't read that. I read it, but I didn't read it. But you did read it, and you just heard it. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin. His righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that his righteousness sin not, he doth not sin, he shall surely live, but he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. That's what Paul did with Peter. Peter was slipping and sliding. And Paul went over to warn him about, well, Peter, now you're slipping and sliding a little bit here, buddy. Get in line here. Get in line. It wasn't the other way around. Catholic Church likes to think that Peter was the good guy, but no, Peter was still rambunctious even after Jesus ascended. That's Ezekiel 3. And it also talks about Ezekiel 33. It talks about the same thing. God is serious about this. Well, serious about everything. But Ezekiel 3:17. Going up a little bit. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. There's no getting around that. Now, sometimes that ain't going to be pleasant neither, because people don't like to hear it. It's how God has the power for reaching the world. It's through his watchman. He works through you. Judgment, wrote Peter, must begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. And so God starts with the center of the revealed religion, the temple of Jerusalem. But you know, Ezekiel himself was appointed as a watchman, responsible to speak God's word and to warn the people solemnly. Blood guiltness is taught not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament as well. Acts 20, verse 26. It's also taught. In Acts 20, verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. You know, the high responsibility of God's messenger is that Christians should not take this as teaching, but that they ought to cram the gospel down everybody's throat or witness to every elevator that you go to. or jerk him by the shoulder and say, listen to me, and bang him up against the wall. And it'll work that way. Despite his great responsibility, though, looking at Ezekiel, he was shut up by God and had to wait for God's given opportunity. God will give you the opportunity. You also have to be sensitive to his leading in and witnessing. Sometimes we just have to be silent. However, most of us are silent when we ought to be witnessing. What's his power that he uses? Well, you can't close your eyes to the condition of the lost. We've all been there. Sometimes you are felt like you want to touch someone, you want to witness to them, and you just procrastinate till they just finally leave, and you're like, oh, I should have said something. That's a nagging feeling sometimes. You say, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't take that opportunity. And they'll start wearing on you. Well, if it's wearing on you and you're convicted of it, that's a good thing. Then you pray that someone else will come around and do it for you, but that you will respond the next time you feel that little voice, hear that little voice say, now go witness to that person. Strike up a conversation. Because you've been chastised for not doing it because that conviction you feel. Every Christian must one day stand before judgment seat of Christ. When we say Christian, I ain't talking about Christianity. I'm talking about Christian who's born again, the Spirit of God, through the blood of Jesus. Not about being a Christian through Christianity, but a Christian who follows Jesus. There is a difference. You've got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne judgment, but the judgment seat of Christ, to give an account of their life after they were saved. If you fail to do what you can to send to every person that's set up with you, you'll have to answer to the Lord for your neglect. You cannot say that we didn't know about the needs. John 4, verse 35. In John 4, 35, for example, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Means don't wait for the harvest, but look up now that they're ready for the harvest. They're already ready. So what can you do? For those who've not heard the gospel, or to have a chance to be saved, every believer should do all he can under God's direction to get the gospel to them. God will set you up, but he's got to trust you first. God has a work for every Christian in fulfilling the Great Commission. So you might ask, what can I do about fulfilling God's power for reaching the world? Well, how about 5 things? One is to witness. You see, God's plan for evangelizing the world is for everyone who knows the story of Jesus to tell it to somebody else. You don't have to give a dissertation. You got to corner them somewhere, so you're not getting by me until you hear me. You know, none of that. Or run a barbecue and say the first person comes in, barbecue, you get a track or something. No. To tell it to someone else, not only with the lips, but also with the life. That's a hard one right there. The Lord Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. So you begin now, being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. It might even be that you take an index card and these steps that we've been talking about, and steps you've already learned in your own study, and go over it like you're a salesman. Sort of, in a way. And you practice in front of a mirror. You practice what you would say to a Jehovah Witness when they come to your house. Hello, I hear park my bicycle here? Yes, you can. Can I come in? Sure. Have a seat here. And then you know what to say to them. And hopefully they don't go running out, but they'll say, oh, man, you got some sense there. What Bible is that again? King James Bible. Can I find one of those? I said, sure, at bookstore. But you got to know what you're talking about, because they train them. They send out letters. They send out people on bicycles and cars, and they have a quota that they got to go out. Well, turn it around. They come knocking on your door. Right there is your first opportunity to witness to somebody that's lost. Charles Taze Russell is Illuminati. Anyway, it ought to give you some start there. To witness to others. Number two would be to pray. You can pray that God will send forth missionaries to the unsaved. I wouldn't recommend going to Kingdom Hall down the street and say, hey, y'all, you're in the wrong hall. I wouldn't do that if I were you, but I wouldn't stand outside a Jehovah's Witness hall and hand out tracts to, you know, well, I don't know, maybe. I don't think you'd be there long, but pray that God will send forth missionaries to the unsaved, and pray daily for his missionaries that God's already sent forth. Luke 10, verse 2. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. So now if you're a talker, a yakker, you just love to talk, turn it around and watch the subject you're talking and just replace it like you would change your record and talk about God. What's the problem? The mouth is opening. Words are coming out continuously. Just change the record. Instead of talking about Mary Sue and what's going on today at the world and all this and all that, start talking about God. Work it around where they'll ask a question, or you witness, stir up, you know, you can do it. Or teach other people to do it that's not doing it. It's coming down to it. Number three is to give. When you give money to the Lord's work, you're sharing in that work and sharing that rewards one day. Give wisely. God will put somebody in front of you. Give joyfully. Sometimes we'll say, well, no, look, it's a derelict. I ain't give any money. Why? Well, he's probably using it for drugs. Well, we don't know. That's not the point. Point is, God's put somebody there in front of you. And what they do with the money is another thing. But it's a test for you. You can't follow this person to see if you're going to buy drugs or alcohol or whatever. The idea is, did you give to that person that came up to you? You know, that's your tithing. There's no 10% tithing. The churches aren't telling the truth about that. It's what you can give. And it doesn't have to be in the church either. You see, it has to be on the street, or it might be a family member. It might, I don't know, whatever. It's up to you, between you and God. But he'll know. But they got you feeling guilty because you don't give 10% in the church. Well, that's not true, actually. That 10% tithing was for the requirement of the Jews back in those days. Not even the Gentiles. The Bible says, it pretty much, it's a teaching on it. I can't remember the scripture exactly, but is you give what you can give to, not 10% exactly. If you want to give 10%, go for it. 20%, whatever. 5%, if that's all you can afford, there you go, to whoever it is. But it's about giving. And God will bring those to you. Prepare, number four. If you want to be servants of God, you got to be prepared. You can do this by setting aside each day for Bible study instead of maybe video games or whatever it is, your Bible study. It's where it started here with this Bible study. I knew I had to do some Bible study, and I was ready. So, well, here it goes, getting a routine of it. And I said, wait a minute, I got a network. I said, well, I'll just invite people in my Bible study. You know, that's what it boiled down to. That's why I'm doing it now. I don't, you know, this is my Bible study. This is for me. I said, well, I'll just invite people to attend it. And I'll make a network out of it. I do it in the daytime, might as well do it at night. I started that last year, or 2 years ago. I lost track. I don't keep track of it. I just do it. Prepare. If we want to be useful servants of the Lord, you got to prepare yourself. You can do this by setting aside each day something. Sometimes I find it easier to listen to it by video or audio. Oh, Max, he does a good job. And number 5 is to go. We do not need to ask the Lord if he wants us to serve him. God calls all his children to serve. Only question is, Lord, what will you have me to do? What is thy will be done? So what will you do in your lives, wherever you are in the United States? Will you be a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus where you are? Will you pray that God will send forth laborers into the harvest field? Give what others may hear. I don't see the value of being on a corner like down here in Mount Airy. They seem like every Friday. I don't see as much now as I used to, but there'll be a preacher on the corner doing preaching on the corner. Nobody's listening at all. They just do it, but it doesn't work. Sometimes you got to go out individually, look them square in the eye, hand out a tract. Now that works. Only one life, 'twill soon to be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So, what is God's power for reaching the world? You. You're his power. But the main power for you is the Holy Spirit. To make sure we evangelize in the power of God's Holy Spirit and not in our own wisdom and strength. Jesus called his followers to reach the world for him, but added a warning that they must not go until they received power. Protection. Listen carefully what I'm going to say. When I think too much and do too much research, whatever, to relax and become mindless, you might watch some TV. Because it's mindless. You sit there and watch and entertain while you're being brainwashed with a TV program. I just watch Arrow. And I say, well, I'm just going to be mindless tonight. Well, what would I do? Watch Arrow. You just sit there and watch a scripted out TV program that you pretty much, depends on how long it lasts, you can pretty much figure out what's going to happen. And the men in white hats always come in to save the day. The people being tortured usually are saved at the last minute. Oh, I've got 10 minutes to go in it. Oh, well, the people come save them, I'm sure. You know, it's all scripted. Everything from TV, everything's scripted. They got a new script going on now. You know what it is? Oh, boy. Two homosexual males moving in with a preacher that's a straight preacher and a reality show. So now you're going to watch, what, for maybe a season? These two homosexuals living together in the presence of it's a three-for-all here, with a preacher who's a straight preacher. And they're going to live together in this reality show. Oh, man. Anyway, in Luke 24, 46 to 49, according to recording of Jesus, the Great Commission, after he said that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, Jesus then told his followers to wait until they were clothed with power from God. Luke 24:49. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. It's what, 10 days after he left? Then you go into Acts 1:8. Jesus said that the order for their evangelizing would be the power first. Actually, I just realized something. I played that song at the beginning for no reason other than I just wanted to play it. I didn't know that this is going to connect with what I'm going to talk about today. I just now realized that. Isn't that a hoot? Power in the blood of Jesus. Then the witnessing goes to all the world. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Acts 1:8. So after Jesus' followers, 120 men and women, did wait together for 10 days in prayer. Acts 1:14. Then these all continued in accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. Well, there you go, y'all. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4. See, everybody thought it was just the 11 disciples. No, 120. Men and women. Mm-hmm. Not women to be ahead of a church, but to evangelize, they can do. When they're filled with the Holy Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit do for the original ones sent out to tell the world about Jesus? What did he do? He gave them power for ministry. See, Jesus knew they could not witness in their own human strength and power. Is that not true? Acts 11:22-24 says pretty much that God used Barnabas to bring considerable numbers to the Lord. He was full of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, it's not just you and how you talk. It's the Holy Spirit touching their hearts while you're talking. That's how Satan is using the religions today. Is for them to speak and they don't have the power, does quite the what? Opposite. It drives them away from church. How many times have you heard, especially in the Catholic Church, I was a Catholic, but I got out, man. And even churches today, I'm hearing constantly, daily, literally, man, I just don't go to church anymore. I just can't find one. This is constant. I said, wait, there's a commonality here. Well, the churches are being used to run people out. The mega churches, that's people going to stick around to get you money. Have a coffee shop. If you want to, you go out in the lobby and watch the preaching on the TV. Oh, yeah. Then they got the rock and roll music, family, drums, literally, drums, frequency, rate, vibration, draws in demonic spirits. Drums, frequency, does that. The drums do that. This is in the Bible. The Bible tells you what actual musical instruments can be used. It's based on frequency. For example, if I can think of an example here, I can't think of another example. For example, let's do like this. You're out in the ocean, and you got a cut. And what does that attract? Oh, shark. That's a frequency. Your blood can equal the frequency. The shark says, oh, I hear a frequency, but it's a smell of blood. He's drawn to it. Now, does it equate to drums during the Indian dances? Yeah. Voodoo? Yep. I went to a Rick Joyner 3-day seminar about 3 or 4 years ago on my way from Georgia back to North Carolina, from North Carolina back to Georgia. Somebody invited me there. I said, Tom, you really want to hear this. And guess who was there? Before I knew later that Gerald Boykin and Rick Joyner were at it together in the 3-day seminar. I tried to approach them and shook hands with both of them. That's before I knew they were Knights of Malta. And I opened up when I went down there to talk to them. And you go up front, and Joyner couldn't wait to get away from me. And Jerry Boykin was like, well, okay, it's been nice talking to you. I got to go to lunch. Now I know why they took off. Anyway, and after the second day, they actually had people following me. They did in the conference. But in any case, no kidding, to make sure I wouldn't take any pictures and all. Because then when I went home, I found out what they were, and I said, oh, no wonder. Oh, man. But he used Barnabas to bring people to the Lord. When I was there at that conference, on the third day, they had bongo drums. I mean, I thought I was back in the Congo, literally. And they had the slap it on the forehead, fall backwards, miraculous whatever. I said, man, I'm in the wrong place. I said, I've been here too long. And I realized, I found out later, the drums do attract demonic spirits. That it's a frequency. It works. That's what it's for. Certain frequencies and musical instruments don't. Others do. Lucifer was the musical director of heaven. I've explained that before about the 9 stones and 9 orders of angels. Each of the stones was like a frequency vibration just for that order of angels. So, one order of angel would sing into the amethyst crystal stone and Lucifer and would absorb that praise. So, 9 orders of angels, 9 orders of frequency, 9 stones. Then Satan had the authority to go into the throne room of God and open up all 9 frequencies of praises of the angels to God at one time. That's what that was for. So you can imagine the power that he thought he had. You see how that worked? It's about frequency vibration. It's physics. Quantum physics is what it is. So they all could praise God at one time. But there's a hierarchy of power. Paul said it was God's power that worked mightily in him. Colossians 1:29. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. And then Paul gave credit for the conviction, not to his words, but to the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. So, you see, when this man named Paul, who had 12 books of the Bible, and it looks like really it's 13, that's debatable, but the theologians, based on the way it was written in Greek and such, it looks like it's Paul's writing. They attribute to Paul, with some reservation, but not much. So make it 13 books of the Bible Paul's written and was put in there through God's inspiration. Paul's power was because he is filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:8-11. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. He said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell upon him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So when Paul confronted the supernatural evil, the magician was struck blind. Paul's power was because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not because of you, but the Holy Spirit within you. When those of Satan, those in the Illuminati, have certain power, they think it's them. They think it's coming from them, of their evolution. But it's not. Because that power will be taken away from them when they've been used up by the supernatural. They're going to kill them. So the body will die, and the soul will go to hell. That's what the plan is. But until then, they're letting them believe and think that they are getting more powerful every day. But it's not. It's a demon within them that's doing it. This is the booby trap. This is a trap that's being set for those that lust for power. See, the Holy Spirit gave Jesus' followers boldness to preach Jesus, even when they're preaching to those who crucified Jesus. Acts 2, verses 14 to 23. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is the third hour of the day. But this is which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heavens above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vaporous smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before thy great and noble day of the Lord come. You know what it's saying right there? He's talking about the sixth seal. And the sixth seal is only one blood moon, not four like Hagee and Mark Blitz talks about. They wrote a whole book on that nonsense. Can they make it happen? Sure. By technology, HARP, other ways, they can make their prophecies come true to a certain extent. Because they work with them. But when it talks here in the Bible, the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood, there's only one in the 7-year period. And before that great and noble day of the Lord come. So that's telling you, on the sixth seal, when the sun lost its light and the moon turns its blood, that notable day of the Lord will begin. That would be the first trumpet for 3.5 years of God's wrath on this earth. That's what it's talking about. See how the scriptures commingle with each other? How Paul was given some of the same scriptures. Paul and John were not together. You know, Paul was doing his thing. He saw Peter, but John's somewhere else. So how did John know about what Paul was experiencing and writing? Unless the Holy Spirit was guiding him. Remember that. and their courage to suffer and even die for Jesus was because the Holy Spirit, when remember, they denied him before, but not this time. No man will die for a lie. Even the terrorists that commit suicide won't die for a lie, because they believe it to be the truth they're dying for, but they're being fooled in with a lie of thinking it's the truth, and they're dying for it, because for them it's the truth. No man will die for a lie. Well, 10 apostles did. John was in jail, and remember, Judas hung himself. All accounted for. Doesn't talk about the other 120 or whatever, but there you go. So we're going to talk more about this on Tuesday. Why do Christians today need the same power of the Holy Spirit? And we strive to complete the task of reaching the whole world for Jesus. Why today do we need the same power? My question is, when's it coming? Because they're told they're going to have the same power. How about that? They're going to ascend into the next evolution of mankind, called the Nexus. That's what the Freemasons are told. That each degree you go up, closer to Godhood you become. And then one day there's going to come this evolution of mankind. And that's being taught now in the New Age movement, of man's next evolutionary step. And you all that believe in Jesus, you ain't it. You are the wicked in their perspective. And the wicked will be removed. They're talking about the rapture, and they're going to have to explain it. You see, they got this thing worked out. But God, they got it worked out way ahead of them. That's where the New Age movement comes in. This thing has symmetry to it. It's quite amazing when you get in the study of it, just how it works out. And this is real life. This is not, you know. So you're looking at the Joint Chief of Staff and CEOs and generals and all this sort of thing. They, you know, they either don't believe it's going to happen, or I don't know what they believe. But see, that's why I don't worry about Agenda 21 and, you know, flying to Mars and the bubble in Venus, you know, all that stuff. Falling meteorites coming, all this stuff. I don't, you know, FEMA camps and, you know, yellow, blue, and purple dots on your mailbox. I mean, that's the silliest thing I ever heard in my life. But people get all caught up in all this stuff. Is there coming a bad time in America? Oh, yeah, it's coming. You know, that's expected. But not get caught up in the fear. It's time to go. That was fast. We'll talk more about his power next week. And evangelizing. Practice it on your own. Practice approaching a family member or yourself in the mirror. And what you will say, because you're not going to have time to sit there. Now, hold on a minute. I'll get my card out. What was that again? You depend on the Holy Spirit. Start practicing now. Start thinking, praying, living. Not in fear, but in truth. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for tonight. That, Father, we come together tonight in another Bible study. That, Father, you'll show us which way to go, set up divine appointments that we can witness to others about the love of Jesus. And, Father, to bring those in order to be saved. And, Lord, to keep us strong. Keep us on the right track. Convict us when we fall away. Lord, we know that day is coming. And, Father, we pray for that anointing of the Holy Spirit to give us that opportunity. Give us those words. Give us the knowledge and wisdom that we can spread the truth of the gospel. And all these things we pray, Lord. Guide our families. Bring families together. Those that are apart. And all these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, now, y'all, we come to the end of the program here. And I appreciate y'all stopping by. And then tomorrow, Oh, yeah, I want to advise you all, remind you, not advise you, that we're played up in highportradio.net. Highportradio.net in New York, New Jersey. In Pennsylvania, John Kirkler. And he's got three states he covers. He was telling me the other day he had some problems because a lot of the businesses were going out of business. I said, and we all know why, too, though. Same thing is happening in Mount Airy. Some people I know that these corporations are coming in now to build up Mount Airy. They tore it down by design like they did Detroit. A lot of the locals don't know this. But the veteran, the industrial parks are owned by the Chinese. They're bringing in their own people. And I told them, I said, about 3 to 5 years, you won't know Mount Airy. I said, it's happening all over the United States. And you all know why. Of course, North American Union. Well, they got another thing coming. Because there's going to be a whole lot of water between the East Coast and West Coast. God's going to act. That's what we know is a priority. In the meantime, there's power in the blood of Jesus. We'll see you all next week. And I continue with what I left off as I cut in. And we'll play it all out. So y'all have a great night. Be careful this weekend and pray. Good night and God bless. This is your watchman, signing off.
Be free from your burden of sin. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you hold even a victory to win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. For Jesus, your